I'm Karen Given, filling in for Bill Littlefield.
Ripped to right. It's down over. The line. Fair ball. Around third, Ramirez will score. It's a walk-off for number 22.
On Thursday night, the Cleveland Indians won their 22nd straight game, and that's where we're going to start this week on Three Stories You Should Know. I'm joined by SB Nation's Charlotte Wilder and NBC Sports' Craig Calcaterra. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
Craig, take it away.
As the Indians' winning streak hit in the 20s this past week, there was a debate about whether or not they were going to be able to get the all-time winning streak. And the funny thing about that debate is what the all-time winning streak is. Some have pointed to the 1935 Cubs, who won 21 straight. Others have pointed to the 1916 New York Giants, who once went 26 games without losing. But the problem was, in the middle of that run, they had a tie game. It was suspended due to darkness. Now, there are a lot of arguments, one side or the other, on which record counts, and I'm not going to get into the complicated reasons for each one. But what fascinates me about this is how, once again, baseball lends itself to having a finite event and a finite number lend itself to debate. People can't decide whether 26 or 21 is better, just like they can't decide whether with home runs 73, 62, 61, or 60 is better. It's amazing that baseball does this all the time. We're often accused in my favorite sport of being slaves to statistics, but in reality, statistics are just a starting point for us just to argue about all kinds of emotional things like how many wins is a winning streak.
I mean, I just think something kind of wonderful about baseball is that curmudgeon-y sort of desire to have everything be factual when there's no thing that is totally factual, right? It's exactly what Craig was saying. It's like, well, if the tie actually counts, that, you know, it's like a bunch of nerds getting together to argue over something in like the most delightful way. And I think because baseball has such a long history, there's so many opportunities to do that. But I think it also does make breaking records feel a little more significant because it's like, look, this sport has been around for so long, and we just did something new. It carries this emotional weight that goes back generations, which is actually pretty moving, I think.
Well, I do think the history of baseball makes these sorts of records absolutely moving, but I think we're losing out. I mean, you called these debates delightful, but I kind of find them anything but delightful. When I first saw this controversy over, is it 21, is it 26, I was like, this is why people hate baseball. This is why. This is the moment, because no matter how much you know about baseball, there's always some geek who thinks that they know more. And then I thought, this is why so many people hate sports, because it's not just true of baseball. It is true of every sport out there.
I agree with you. I think there's an unpleasant aspect to it. And where I think it really centers on is taking something that should just be a pastime and should just be enjoyable. Hey, no matter how many wins they have in a row, it's cool to watch the Indians win this many games in a row, and try to turn it into some factual black and white qualitative thing. And I think we do that in sports, we do it in politics, we do it everywhere. There's not something that's good or bad. There's not something that's just enjoyable. There's something that's right or wrong. And gosh, that is such a drag.
I think the reason I like it in sports, though, is because none of this matters. Who cares? Like, who cares?
All right. Well, so let's debate something else that doesn't matter. When I first started watching football, one of the first things I noticed was that poor guy who'd get the ball shoved into his hands and then he'd run smack into the other team. And I thought, ouch, why does he do that? And then I learned more about the game and I learned to appreciate the position and the strategy and the athleticism and all the things that make a big play by a running back just super cool. But then this week, I learned through an article by Sports Illustrated writer and friend of Only a Game, Jacob Feldman, that running backs in the NFL, on average, have the third lowest salaries, ahead only of fullbacks and long snappers. Their careers are the second shortest, only 2 years and 5 months. They're placed on injured reserve twice as often as any other position. And yet, this position is still super popular. There's lots of kids who want to play it. And so I'm back to why.
I think the glory of being a running back is pretty significant. Yeah, you get injured more. It's a more dangerous position. But if you're really good at it, the satisfaction, I think, that comes from literally busting through a wall of other people, and it's one against a million, and you get through, and, you know, they win games. So I think in sports, a lot of times it's easy to look at stats or look at injury lists and sort of try to think of it rationally. But I think that an aspect of sports is that there is this incredible desire for glory and something intangible. And I think running backs, I think that's sort of what defines that position.
It's the NFL in microcosm, right? We have a exciting, exhilarating glory position, just like the game itself, when watching it, can be exciting and exhilarating for fans. Yet the person that's doing the work there is just getting completely chewed up and spit out. And for every Zeke Elliott, you've got an Earl Campbell who can't get out of a chair. I grew up watching Billy Sims and Walter Payton play, and I wanted to be a running back. I didn't have the skills, but I wanted to be that because of that glory. And as I've gotten older and as you learn what happens to these guys, you have a hard time watching it. And it's just really sad and causes a dilemma on the part of the viewer, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, I don't have anything to say to that, so I'm just going to move on.
I brought us all down. None of this matters. It's only a game, and then I'm talking about death.
On that happy note, it's baseball season. It's football season. It's also the season for ranking NBA players. Charlotte, please explain.
Yes. Oh, I love this. Well, so journalists are, you know, you need to write about stuff. So we rank stuff. I have ranked underrated foods before. It, somehow that was sports. But people who actually know what they're talking about rank NBA players. And ESPN has been slowly releasing their top 100 players. And Carmelo Anthony was less than thrilled to find out that he had been ranked 64th. So he tweeted about this. And then CJ McCollum tweeted that players should rank journalists. And I saw this and I was immediately like, if I am not number one, I did not go to liberal arts school for this. No, there's no way I would be number one. But I did just think it was this really interesting dynamic where social media has presented this new way that athletes and journalists can interact. And it was sort of like breaking that fourth wall.
Every December for about 4 or 5 years now, I've done a ranking of the most handsome baseball managers from 1 to 30.
And you get all the way to 30.
Oh, yeah. I rank them all in detail. And over the last few years, the results of this have started to come back to the managers. And I found out that the ones who are ranking 29 and 30, guys like Clint Hurdle and Bruce Bochy and Mike Socha, they love that they rank low. And the guys who are up high, like Brad Ausmus and Mike Matheny, they bristle and they don't want to talk about it. It's embarrassing for them. So if you're ranking it on that way, then it could be okay. So I welcome them to rank journalists, actually, and I want to be dead last. Because as George Orwell said, journalism is printing what everyone else does not want printed, and everything else is public relations. If athletes love me, I'm not doing my job, he said, with his press hat on and his cigar and all that kind of stuff.
All right, but how exactly would you rank journalists? I mean, the ability to type and eat pizza at the same time. I don't know, the ability to get an athlete to say something other than we're going to give it 110% and good Lord willing.
In baseball, it would be knowledge of the Bruce Springsteen catalog, because that's the cliche of baseball writers.
It would be how many pairs of pleated khakis and New Balance shoes do you own?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it would be unfair because all the baby boomer ones would win, and those of us in Gen X would not do very well in that category.
And us poor millennials would just be not even on the list.
You wouldn't even
make it. You'd be ranked on, like, avocado consumption.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been Craig Halkatera of NBC Sports and Charlotte Wilder of SB Nation. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.